You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is It's Already Prepared by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
You don't hear about that kind of stuff. But some of these things, it's not a stronghold. We holding strong. I don't see anything wrong with. But God revealed to me exactly the approach I need to deal with this situation. So I sat there that's the first thing I dealt with the person with. I said, now what you going to do? Are you going to continue to talk, now I got a stronghold, or are you going to stop holding strong to this thing? Are y'all listening to me? So God will reveal things to us by his spirit. But we got to take the paths which he prearranged. So it's so important. So why do I need to come to church? I come to church because when I hear the word, it's going to cause me to be more spiritually dominant. I'm going to know when God's talking. Why do I read the word? Because when I read the word is able to cause me to be spiritual. I know what God sounds like because God sounds like his word. Amen. Why do I need to pray? Because when I pray, my spirit gets built up, especially when I pray in the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible says that praying in the spirit, praying in the unknown tongue, praying in our prayer language is the most perfect prayer, because we're not praying according to what we think and what we see and what we feel. We're praying, the Bible says in Romans 8, 26 through 28, we are praying the perfect will of God. The Bible says, when you really look at that, it says, when we pray in our own tongue, our spirit prays, it said, and we pray, and it says, and we pray the will of God. I think will of it is in our talents. Basically saying we pray what God prays. We're saying what God says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Spirit, dealing with God's Spirit, the Spirit. The Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or articulated in our own known language. Keep going. And he that searcheth the hearts. Remember, we just looked at before, the Spirit searcheth all things. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying God's mind, not my mind. Because he maketh intercession, here we go, for the saints according to the will of God. Now, most of your Bibles, you look at it in your Bible. According to the will of, is that not in italics? If you got a paper Bible, nobody carry a paper Bible no more. Okay? According to the will of, come on, am I right? It's having italicism. Italicism means it was added by the translators. And I always tell you, read it with it and read it without it. It sometimes brings clarity to read it with it, and sometimes brings even more clarity to read it without it. So here it's telling us, yeah, according to the will of God, but if you take the italics out, come on, put that back. He says, if you take the italics out, it says that when we pray in tongues, he's making intercession for us according to God. According to God versus according to you. According to God versus according to what your mama said. According to God versus what you want to do. So it's so important, if we're going to live this prearranged life and get the things that God's prepared for us, that I got to become more spiritual. I can't go around being led by my emotions. I got to hear God. Proverbs 14 and 12. See, I can't just do deductive reasoning or try to use common sense and all this kind of stuff. Because all that stuff will fail you when it comes to the things of God. Because the Bible says he don't think like we think. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So we need to get his thoughts and his ways. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto who? A man. But the end thereof is what? The ways of death. He says, you ever hear people say, it just feel right. It just look right to me. Well, the Bible says you can't trust that. Because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death or destruction, or that's going to lead to negative versus positive. It's going to give negative results versus positive results, even though it seems right to you. So something just seeming right. It just felt right. Just felt right. We just click. It just felt right. You know how many people who divorced today that in the beginning it felt right? That verse from New Living Translation. There's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. The Amplified, Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him. I mean, this look like can't be wrong. Because loving you is wrong. I don't want to be right. This can't be wrong. Okay? But at the end, it's the what? It's the way of death. Let me say, because I know as we've been teaching more about grace, some of us, we get you know, it's kind of messing us up. You know, well, are you saying sin? You know, sin don't affect anything? Yeah. Sin affects your consciousness. Sin affects you, affects your confidence in God. Sin makes you think you can't come to God. That's why when you sin, you run from God rather than running to God. Okay? And sin does not destroy the love of God on you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Sin don't make God stop loving you. So sin don't destroy your relationship with God, but know what? It can destroy your life. Yes, it does. Sin can destroy, and you go to heaven, just get there early. There's such a thing as premature death. I can show you this in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about, he said, turn that man who just won't do right, and a man who's having an adulterous affair with his stepmother, his father's wife. 1 Corinthians 5th chapter. He said, just leave him alone. He said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the last day. He said, as long as he keep living that life, it's going to destroy his flesh. But then the Bible says spirit going to be saved. Now, why do we have a problem with that? Why is that hard for us to, why is that hard for us to receive? Because we still don't have a revelation of the breadth, the width, the height, the depth of the love of God. Because in our mind, ain't no way. So there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends up in death. So Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 tells us we're going to live this good life. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but rather be understanding what the will of the Lord is. If I'm going to have the things that's prearranged for me and live this good life, I got to be in the will of God. And I'm not going to be in the will of God being carnal. I'm not going to be in the will of God just by doing whatever feels right to me. I'm not going to be in the will of God just being driven by my circumstances. So, 1992, after I got ready to move to Jersey, New Jersey, back from Maine to New Jersey a couple times, okay, the Lord confirms through my wife and another man of God and everybody else except me, okay, because I wasn't trying to hear it, okay, that we weren't supposed to go back to New Jersey, okay. Sitting at my desk one day, and this is when we didn't quite have it wasn't quite email then. This is like 1991. It wasn't quite email. We used to have just kind of a little box would pop up on the screen. A little message, some little message inbox. I know y'all know nothing about that. Little box. And something pops up my screen. And the manager says, joking, he says, we're in Maine, Portland, Maine. He says, does anyone want to get a 10-gallon hat and a pair of cowboy boots and move to Tulsa, Oklahoma? Well, as soon as I saw that, something leaped in my spirit. And I called Marcia. I said, there's a position open up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, mind you, she wasn't trying to. We should just get Word of Faith magazine, Brother Higgins magazine. I had always talked about. We had both talked about maybe one day going to Rhema Bible Training Center. Okay, and so that's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so she said, really? She said, well, when we get home, let's talk about it and pray about it. We prayed about it, and we both felt by the Spirit of God that this was a job I was supposed to take. I walked back in the office the next day, and I go into my manager's office, and I said, that job in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I said, I'm interested in that. And he said, now, mind you, this is the guy who ripped up my resignation after I put it in and moved back to New Jersey. But before I left, the Lord confirmed I wasn't supposed to move. So I still got my job. Now, all he knew, I'm trying to get back to Jersey. Now I said, well, I want to take, he said, well, aren't you from, why would you want to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma? I couldn't tell him so I can be trained for ministry. Okay? He wasn't trying to hear that at their expense. So I said, you know, my wife and I, we had always talked about maybe moving to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma at corporate's expense. Well, I said, I get there the first day I had been off like 2 or 3 weeks preparing to move and all that. So when I get to the office, my manager calls me and he says, welcome to Tulsa, Herb. You know, and we're glad to have you. Listen, I don't know if you heard, but over the end of the year, the company's going through reorganization and we don't know who's going to have a job, who's not going to have a job. This is the first day I get there. And I said, I just want you to know we haven't decided anything. And back in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'm the last one here in this office. I may be, you know, but the office did downsize, went from like 40 people down to like 5. I was one of the 5. But even beside that, I knew I was in the will of God. So we get ready. A few years later, I'm trying to leave Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm trying to get back to New Jersey. In 1995, I get an offer to come and manage a claim office in Long Island, New York. I went there for 30 days. While I'm there 30 days, the Lord says to me, go back and submit yourself to your pastor in Oklahoma. You're not supposed to be here. Just like he did to Paul. Paul was convinced he's going to go to Jerusalem. I'll die in Jerusalem. But Paul goes to Jerusalem. They almost killed him. The Spirit of the Lord said, get out of Jerusalem. Even though he was willing to die, it wasn't God's time for him to die. You can be very passionate about something that has nothing to do with the will of God. I just feel it has nothing to do with the will of God. And so now I go back and the Lord said to me, now I'm going to use this job to get you where I want you to be. Now I go back without a job. 3 months later, they called me back and said he got a position open here in South Carolina. I pray about it. The Lord tells me to come here and at least come on an interview. When I come on an interview and I'm praying here, the Lord tells me to start a ministry here. 9 months later, after getting here, I'm fired. My manager says, well, Herb, I'm sure you're going back to New Jersey now, right? No, because watch this, here I am, I have no job, I know hardly anybody here, I got a young family, and surely you're going back to New Jersey, that's where your family is. No, but I knew I was in the will of God. Now watch this, if I had got driven by circumstances, I would have went back to New Jersey. If I did what looked like made sense, Mother Bailey said to me, when I told her after I got fired, I said, I'm full-time in ministry now, she said, that's good, but how are you going to feed your kids? I said, I'm full-time in ministry. She said, I understand that, but what you going to do to feed the kids? I said, I'm going to be full-time in ministry. She said, I know about full-time ministry, but how you going to feed the kids? In her mind, full-time ministry does not mean you won't get paid. But I knew I was in the will of God, okay? And so I was led by my spirit, not by circumstances. Because when I went to Maine and I was there for 7 years and struggled, I was out the will of God, and I was led by money. See, that's why I keep telling y'all. I know y'all think I'm trying to control y'all. No, I know money is not necessarily the spirit of God. I knew that if I'm in the will of God, I'll have a job. If I'm in the will of God, I'll have money. But you can think you got money, and then you out the will of God, and then the money going to dry up because you out the will of God. And so we got to be led by the Spirit of God if we're going to walk in these prearranged paths and live the good life. So our quest for coming, all this stuff is so we can learn to transcend this natural body and this natural limitations of just thinking naturally and acting naturally and just being driven by our circumstances and whatever the recession does moves you here and sends you there, and whatever job opens up, you go in here and go in there. Come on, look at this here. Acts 17. Because I didn't get to it all. Acts 17, verse 26 through 27. I'm going to read from New Living for the sake of time. From one man, God created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. The traditional King James, he determined the times before appointed. That's why it said God determined when you're supposed to be born. That's why some of y'all talking about, you know, yeah, you know, back in slavery. I should have been born during slavery. I would have started a revolution. I would have got us free. No, you would have said, yes, sir, and went and picked some more cotton. That's what you would have did. God determined the times of your habitation. He determined the time before appointed. Look at this. And he determined the bounds of the habitation. See, this is what I started resting on. I started resting. If I'm going to be in the will of God, God got to determine the bounds of my habitation. Not a job. Not money. God determines where I live. If you're going to live the good life, God got to determine where you live, because he knows where the good life is. When Elijah had nothing and the brook dried up, what did God say? Go down to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. He told him where the provision was. And he went there and ministered to that woman, and she and he and her family ate for many days, or other translation says a full year. Why? Because he heard God. So look at this. He's determined a habitation. Verse 27, King James says that we should seek the Lord. If happy, we might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. These 27 verses of New Living Translation says, his purpose was for nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. So our quest, y'all, is to seek God, his purposes, and his will for our lives. We got to teach our young people when they get ready to go to college, you don't choose a major or choose what you're going to do based upon the fact that U.S. News and World Report said these are the top 10 occupations that make money. That may not have anything to do with the will of God for your life. These are the jobs that have the best return on investment from student loans, and these that don't. And that's how you got to seek God. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search it out. So what God does, y'all, I've given y'all this example before. When you're teaching a child to walk, okay, that toddler, okay, first place, if they're not in a walker, is somewhere probably around the coffee table, right? And that child, he hold on, and he start walking around the coffee table. As long as he got that table there, he'll start taking steps. And then sometimes you hold him, and you stand him up, and first child is trying to see if he can stand up, okay? And then sometimes if you hold their hands, they'll start walking, right? But then sometimes when you're trying to teach them to walk, what you do? You let them go. You let them go, but you stay right in front of them. And as long as you're there, they'll try to run towards you. But as they're running towards you, if you want them to walk, what you do? You start backing up. And child will say, what you doing? Sometimes you feel like God backing up from you. He's just trying to teach you how to walk. He's going to let you know, I ain't going to let you fall. I'm right there, but I'm trying to strengthen you in your faith. I want you to know, you can go ahead and walk by faith. I know you don't have the coffee table right now. Everything's not secure, but you need to understand, I'm watching you, and I'm not going to let you fall. And if you do fall, I'm going to pick you up and comfort you real quick. Then I'm going to set you back up and let you keep on walking. Sometimes it feels like God's backing up from you, y'all, and what he's trying to teach us to do is just seek him. Seek him. Keep on seeking me. Keep on seeking me. Keep on coming. I know what I'm doing with your life. I know it seems scary. I know you don't have the coffee table right now. And I know it seems like you're all alone. But I will lead you. I will guide you. I got a good life prepared for you. Don't be driven by your circumstances. Don't jump out the ship and jump overboard and jump out the frying pan into the fire. Don't do like on 9/11 just to get out the flame. People started jumping out the window. Because it seemed like it, I mean, but some of them perhaps if they early on could have been saved, but some of them got so scared they jumped out the window and they killed themselves. And that's what the devil wants us to do. So the Bible said, be not unwise, but walk circumspectly. He said, because the devil wants to bruise your heel. He wants to get you off from God's plans for your life. So watch this. You need to understand this. I just got finished watching, I watched the movie, not movie, I went to the movie, American Sniper. How many of us have seen it? Okay? It's grossed like $600-700 million already. Okay? And the story is about our men, and particularly one particular man who was a sniper during the Iraq war. And one thing that they said, and we have people in our church who served in Iraq, they didn't know who the enemy was. It could be a little child, but that little child might be carrying a bomb. It could look like some nice Muslim, you know, covered up woman, and she looked like she's just pregnant, but she carrying a bomb. And so nothing or nobody was necessarily what they looked like. When the Bible said be sober, be vigilant, your adversary, the devil, seeketh whom he may devour. You got to judge every relationship you get into. Amen. There are preachers who try to get close to me. And I evaluate what's the purpose? What's the real agenda here? Okay? Be sober. Be vigilant. Everybody's not for you. And the devil surely is not for you. And he will use anybody he can to get you off your path. You can't afford to fall in love. You better walk in love. You better sneak up on love. You better check interview love. A three-part interview. First you meet with them, then the rest of the folk got meet with them, then got meet with a committee and all that. Be sober, be vigilant, because more than anything else, y'all, got to be in the will of God. Pastor Marshall reminded me as we're negotiating and looking at this church campus, came yesterday morning, she said, now you judge this. She said, but you need to make sure this God. She said, don't just look at a deal. It's so easy, y'all, because hearing God sometimes means I gotta shut everything else off. It may mean you can't watch Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. Yeah. It may mean you need to turn your plate down and not eat, because I need to hear God. This decision is too important for me to just think I feel something or just to do it. I got to, because... I'm gonna stand with me. Because if I'm gonna live the good life, I gotta be in the will of God. Amen. Know who I really pray for? I pray for all of I really pray for our military people, because their life is not their own. Okay? They've signed up to go where Uncle Sam tells them. All the more, now we gotta be praying the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. God, I want to be where you want me to be. Not necessarily where they want me to be. And so, God, orchestrate my steps even through them, through my assignments. Otherwise, you'll just spend your life just driven to and fro by circumstances. But there's a good life. It's already been prepared for you. But it's in the will of God, not necessarily your will. Amen. Marriage, jobs. How many of y'all know? Some of y'all know now, you didn't know it then. How many of y'all know you need to hear God before you buy a car? Mm-hmm. You need to hear God before you buy a house. And some of us here, y'all, the older you get, the less you can afford to be missing God. You 25, you lose a house at 25. Oh, God. Even if you go through 7 years of bad credit, you can get yourself together. You get a house at 32. You don't want to get to 50 losing no house. Just before it's almost paid for, you got 5 years left on the mortgage. And the older we, what should happen, and the older we get, the more spiritual we ought to become. Like, I know God said. I know God said. I know God said. And I'm not moved by everything that looks sensational to me. And the other thing, I need to add this to you. Don't get moved by pressure. I've taught this over the years. If you're ever battling about something and somebody says to you, well, I need a decision today. I need it right now. And you ain't heard God. You ain't had a chance for it. Now, either today or it's over. That's your answer to walk away from it. The Bible says, as many as are led by spirit, not driven by pressure. So a lot of times if I'm battling about something, I'm already trying to really make sure I hear God. Once the pressure comes, I know this ain't God. I back right away from that thing. And the Bible said, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. I mean, don't be overly anxious, worried about it. Don't get too excited about anything.
God has everything you need just waiting for you to claim it. You have to believe that He already has your necessities and desires taken care of. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages you that it's already prepared in this timely message. Order these resources today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for It's Already Prepared. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.